people. Lord, we come before you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Lord, we come before you as your sons and your daughters, Lord, those that have been called by your name, Lord, those that look to you and trust you, the author and the finisher of our faith. And Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, we pray, Father God, that the words that would go forward in this place, Lord, that they would bless the lives and the hearts of your children. Father, that you would strengthen each and every one of us, Lord God, for that which is at hand and that which is to come. Lord, may we glorify you, Father, in this time, Lord, even with what you have destined us to do, Lord. Lord, we do break and bind and throw out every work of the devil. And Lord, we release, Lord God, your spirit, Father, acknowledging openly that it is your spirit in us that is good, Father. And so to your spirit we do yield as we go on. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning again. You know, it is a good thing when we come together in Jesus' name. You know, I say that because, and I keep emphasizing that because it is, when we come together in Jesus' name, we come together proclaiming something.
මේක නිතර නිතර කියන්නේ හේතුව අපි යේසුස් වහන්සේගේ නාමයෙන් එකට එකතු වෙනකොට අපි යම් දෙයක්
You know, we all have different responsibilities, we all have different assignments, we all have different things that we do, yes? But when we come together like this, what we do is we say, no matter what our assignments are, no matter what our responsibilities are, those things aside, the reason that we do everything that we do is because of the foundation that we have in Christ Jesus.
නමුත් අපි මේ වගේ එනකොට අපි අපිට තියෙන වගකීම් මොනවා වුණත් අපිට තියෙන කාර්යයන් වෙනස් වුණත් ඒක ඔක්කොම පැත්තක තිබිලා අපි උන්වහන්සේගේ නාමයෙන් එකතු වෙන්නමක් තමයි සිද්ධ වෙන්නේ.
And it is very important that we acknowledge that because that is the grounding, the anchor, the bedrock of who we are as people.
ඉතින් වැදගත් අපි ඒක දැනගන්න එක ඒක තමයි නිකන් මූලික මේ අතිවාරමක් වගේ තියෙන්නේ.
See, the world doesn't have that. The world, in fact, when they talk to each other, the first thing after they ask you is, what's your name? What's the second question they ask you? Third question. They ask you, in Sri Lanka they'll ask you where you live, yeah, okay. No, okay, but what's the second or the third question that's in there? What's your job? What do you do? What do you do? How do you define yourself? The world does that. And the reason that they do that is they want to know where you fit in the system of the world. You would be amazed at how many times I get that question. Govinda, what do you do? What do you do? They want to know, what do I do? How do I define myself? I do all kinds of things. I do all kinds of stuff. But who am I? Who are you? Because the world defines itself by what it does and where it fits in that ranking of the world system. We do all kinds of things, but it's who we are and we are grounded in Christ. And when we understand that, when we come into that realization and we receive that as His people, what you do can change very quickly as God's people.
ඇත්තටම දෙවියන් වහන්සේගේ සෙනඟ හැටියට පුදුම විදිහට දේවල්
But who you are remains constant through all of it, and God blesses you through each of those things and experiences. Go to John chapter 3 and verse 5. Jesus said, "Verily," Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou canst hear the sound thereof, but cannot not tell whence it cometh, and whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Verse 5 through 8.
જોહાન તુને પાહે સે ચાટા દાખવા યેશુ વાસે ઉત્તર દેવિન સેવવાક સેવવાક નોબડ કિયમી યમે વતુરેન દ આગ્ન્યાનન ગેન નૂપાન નો તોબડ દેવિયન વાસે કે રાજ્યત એટુરેન્ટ બેરિય માંશે ઉપદિન દે માંશેય આત્મ્યાનન ગેન ઉપદિન દે આત્મેય નુબલા અલુતેન ઉપદિન દે ઓનાયાઈ મા કીવાટ કુતુમનો વાન્ન ફુલંગ કેવેદિ કેમેટિ કેન્ટ દસાય એ શબ્દય નુબડ એસે નમુ કોતલિન એનેદ કિયાવત કોતલેટ યન્નેદ કિયાવત નુબ દાન્ને નત
Okay, so like that, when we are born of the Spirit of God, when someone is truly born of the Spirit of God, what do? They follow the voice of the shepherd. They know his voice, he leads them, they follow him. And when someone is not born of the Spirit, they don't follow the voice and the leading of the Spirit of God. They may talk about Him, but they stay where they are. Power comes back. Just take that. God said, "Yes, yes." No. So we as kingdom people, we follow the voice and the leading of the Spirit of God. Now you know Nicodemus. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus had a really hard time reconciling what he knew with who Jesus was. But I like Nicodemus. Because despite the fact that he had a hard time reconciling this, he still knew that God was with Jesus. So he knew that God was with Jesus. And so he came in the middle of the night, because he didn't want everybody else getting mad at him, but he came in the middle of the night to Jesus and said, "Okay, I don't get this, but I know that God is with you. Please help me out here. I want to know the truth," because he was a truth lover. And Jesus talked to him about being born again, born of the Spirit, led by the Spirit, like the wind. And Nicodemus he's like, "Whoa, I can't get this." But even though he didn't quite get it, he still knew that Jesus was, he knew that Jesus was of God. You know, there's a lot of things that we don't necessarily understand with our natural minds. But we know the one that we follow, we know the one that we serve, and we trust him.
අපි දන්නවා අපි මේ කෙනාව අපි විශ්වාස කරනවා කියලා.
And for us, whenever we come to a spot where we say, Lord, I don't know if I can keep going, but I call out to you, how many times has God, the Good Shepherd, come back, picked us up, put us on His shoulders, and carried us through that and more? But there is an important principle with Nicodemus and with so many others that Jesus came into contact with. And that is that when Jesus walked the earth, there people had a time of visitation when Jesus encountered them, when they encountered Jesus. Because for there was 400 years before that, you have the Malachi, and you've got and all of a sudden it's quiet. Everybody's waiting for this Messiah. They're waiting for God to show up. All of this is taking place, but now here's Jesus. And Jesus, during His day and during His age, He travels, walks, meets people, encounters them, gives them truth. And when they encountered the truth, they had to make a decision what they would do with that. And you know, we talked some last time too about everybody loves the Jesus that heals and the Jesus that feeds the 5,000 and the Jesus that walks on the water. Everybody loves that Jesus. But the Jesus that talks about eating my flesh, drinking my blood, the Jesus that talks about Mark 8, if a man will come after me, let him take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me. That's the Jesus that gets rejected. But you know what you get when you reject that Jesus? You get Simon the sorcerer. In Acts chapter 8. You get Simon the sorcerer. You get Pharaoh's magicians in the time of Moses. You get Bar Jesus that was there and Paul had an encounter with him. You get the people that are talked about in the book of Jude, that these wolves that creep in, that have worked their way in, that's what you get. In the book of Jude, last book right before Revelation, that's what you get. You get these deceitful workers that creep in. See, when you reject even the smallest part of who Jesus is, you end up with that. I'm serious. I am telling you something this morning that will save your life. Because there scriptures talk about how Lucifer has ministers that transform themselves into angels of righteousness. They look the part, they talk the part, but in the end, they reject the truth. You know, the true gospel is not a buffet. It's not a buffet. You know, sometimes people talk about, oh, you know, the bread of life. It's not a buffet. You know how a buffet works? They put out all this food and you walk in. Oh, I take a little rice. And oh, look here, I take a vegetable. Ooh, look at the desserts. I'll go back five times. That's buffet. So here's my favorite psalm. Let me read that one today. And then a couple passages over here. I love these. Okay, I'll read Proverbs for a little while. That's good. No. The true gospel is a 7-course meal. And you sit at the table with Christ, and each piece that comes, you eat that part of that meal. You go through the whole process with Him. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a meal like that, but it's different because you stay there, the host, each thing, it's not that you're eating a ton of food, but each thing is a different flavor, different taste, different experience, and it's all part of that experience. And the chef that is cooking, when he makes that whole meal, he makes in mind each of those different pieces of the meal to make an entire experience for the person that's eating it. And actually, if you miss a part of the meal, you miss the experience that he was creating. Now, when Jesus, when he was in the earth, he did a lot of things that showed his credibility, showed his power. But in the process of doing that, it was to give a natural example of a spiritual reality. You know, when Jesus would open the eyes of somebody that was born blind, it was to show also that in the spirit he could give sight to those that were spiritually blind. It was to show if he healed healed somebody, if He opened their ears, it was to show that those that could not hear in the Spirit can now hear. And He's got the authority to do that in the spiritual, and I will prove it by doing something also in the natural so you get it. When He would raise the dead, He was showing, look, you may be spiritually dead, but now you are alive when you hear My voice. There's a principle. You know, that principle actually goes back to the Old Covenant. Because man, when he lost his connection with the Father, what God did, and God desired to be with His people, God did something for them. He provided all of these natural examples of a spiritual reality so that man would understand some things about how to approach Him and also what was necessary for them to be reconciled to Him. So the tabernacle, the sacrifices, the blood of the sacrifices necessary, the high priest, all of those things were natural examples of a spiritual reality. So that when Jesus came into the earth and He did what He did, you and I would understand, here's what has taken place in the realm of spirit. And so for us, when He talks about Him, when scriptures talk about Him being the high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek, when we talk about Him being the high priest, we know what it means because we were provided with the natural example, and now we know that that's applied in the Spirit. When it talks about in Hebrews chapter 9 about without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sins, we understand because all of the blood that had to be shed to try to cover, but never did the job until Christ Jesus came and paid it with His own blood. So when Jesus came and when Jesus was doing miracles, He wasn't doing miracles just for the sake of doing miracles and giving a show. No, you know, no, Jesus wasn't doing that. You know, that's what the world does. See, the world, what it does is it says, okay, let me put a show, everybody come, look at me, tell me how great I am. No, Jesus, what He was doing is He would give people the truth, He would speak the word to them, and then He would give a natural example of a spiritual reality so they would understand that He is who He said He is.
Thank you.
So these miracles that he would do were not for the sake of doing a miracle. They were an exclamation point to say, that which is happening in the spiritual, let me show you, I'll give you a natural example of it as well. And so when Jesus would encounter people though, they would encounter that truth at the same time. And people had to make a decision, what do you do with truth now that it is there and it is in front of you? Because in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, right? So when Jesus arrives on the scene, what you have is you have somebody standing there with power given by God, that now you have to figure out, what do I do with this person? Now, think about this. You have to deal with the statement that Jesus would make in a situation like this. So if Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no man cometh unto the Father but by me, you have to now deal with that. And you don't have a lot of options. You know, that's something about truth. Truth doesn't give you a lot of options. You know, when people lie, they come up with all the options. There's all kinds of options. But truth narrows down your options. And when Jesus speaks like this, you can either say, okay, Jesus is exactly who he said he is, and that he indeed is the way, the truth, and the life, and that he's the only way to the Father. Or you can do what the Pharisees did and reject him, try to kill him, try to trap him, try to do something to discredit him. Or there's another one I've found. Or you can try to delay and try to sort of say, okay, I want to have one foot here, but I also want to have one foot with Jesus. You know, there is that, I've seen that third option's there, but you know the thing about it is that third option doesn't last very long at all. You remember the guy, oh Jesus, let me just go bury my father? I'll come and follow you, but let me bury my father first. What's Jesus' answer? Let the dead bury the dead, you come and follow me. How many other cases like that? Plenty. But see, the thing about that option is, Jesus keeps moving. And so the people that tried to put one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom over here, it doesn't last. Because inevitably what happens is one foot stays with the world, that one does, and as Jesus keeps moving, you find that there's nothing there under your feet anymore, on that side. And you know what that's called? That's called missing your time of visitation. That's called missing your time of visitation. Or missing the time when Jesus came to you. Because you know what happens in life. Okay, David talked in the Psalms. He said, Lord, teach me to number my days. That's an interesting drill. Okay, even right now where you are, imagine, what's the oldest that you think you might live? Just guess. You just think, how old do you think you might live? If you had to guess, just think, write it, put it, if you have a pen, just write it here, put it there. 85, 100, 120. Say 100, right? Okay, minus your age. That's your present age now. And multiply it by 365 days. Okay, how many days do you now have? Some of you might need to go to the math class and spend a... No, you know, actually, if you stop and do that small drill, you'll realize that you and I really don't have much time here in this world. No, really, really, stop and do this. Stop, multiply it by 365. So say you have 50 years left. Great, fantastic, you have 50 years left. Multiply it by 365. You'll be surprised how small that number really is. If you multiply that again by 24, you find out how many hours you have of life left. And you realize that every time an hour goes, how precious your life really is. You don't have much time in this life. Okay, so the fact that we're not here for very long. Whether you live to be 18 or whether you live to be 80, you're not here for very long. Now, during that time, Jesus makes an appeal to people. He visits them. He presents life to them, truth to them. And it happens in different ways, but it's all ultimately truth calling out to them. But now, what do you do in your time of visitation? That is an eternally significant, relevant question. What do you do in your time of visitation? Because you need to seek God while He can be found. You need to seek God while He can be found. You know, there are people that they think that they can manipulate God. You know, for example, there were some friends I knew in my college days. And we would talk about God. And they would say, Govinda, they'd say, look, okay, that's fine for you and everything, but for me, they would say, what I want to do, here's what I want to do. They say, I want to do my own thing right now for a while. Then I want to get married. Then I want to have a couple kids. And they said, then after that, once I've settled, I want to find religion, is what they would say. I want to find religion then. Oh, then I want to find God. Okay. Do you think that God will play on your table? Okay, first of all, you just schedule me in the day before you're about to die. Just write my name on that day on your calendar. So go ahead, tell me when you're going to die and I'll meet you the day before. Oh, you know, scriptures say appointed unto every man is a time to die and after that the judgment, but how few people know when that day is coming? And you think that if somebody says, okay God, I'm going to do my own thing, have my own way, do all of these things, and then whenever I find I have need of you, use of you, I want to give you the scraps of my life, then I will come and give you that. You know who that represents? That's Cain. Cain came and gave God the leftovers, the scraps, just whatever it was that he could come up with. That's the sacrifice he brings to God. Whereas Abel took the best of what he had, brought it to the Father, that was the sacrifice that God approved. Abel was approved, Cain was rejected. Abel was approved, Cain was rejected. And you know, God, He sees your heart. You remember in 1 Samuel 16, where Samuel's going through looking at the sons of Jesse? Supposed to appoint a new king? And all of these guys in their own mind would have thought, oh yes, I'm up to the part, I can be king. They don't know what Samuel's doing there, but for them, if you would have asked them, oh, could you do this job? Yes, yes, of course. But God had rejected each and every one of them. And in fact, some of them, it doesn't even record their names. He just says, nor has God chosen this. He just calls them a this. He calls them a this. He doesn't even say their name. He's like, I have not picked any of these. And you know what's interesting for me even there, that Jesse didn't think enough of his own son to even call him from the field for what Samuel had asked for. He didn't even think highly enough of his own son to have him brought in when when Samuel had asked for this. So if there was a son to be selected in Jesse's own mind, it had to be one of these. It couldn't be David. Because if there was any thought in his mind that there was a possibility for David, he would have already called him. And Samuel has to ask him and say, look, are these all the sons that you have? And that's when he says, no, there's one more. He's out in the field somewhere. And then they have to go bring him. But what is the mark of David? Even out there with a few sheep, he's worshiping and praising and loving God with all of his heart. And whether he was in the field or whether he was in the palace, his heart was with God. And he gave God his very best. And yes, David messed up, and all, but even when he messed up, when he realized he messed up, his heart was rent before God because he knew that it was against God that he had sinned. And that was his love, that was his heart. And that is why he was a king and his brothers were not. That is why he was chosen and why Saul was rejected. See, God is no respecter of persons. God looks through the core he looks through all the peripheries of everything going on with people to the core of your heart, who you are. And when he sees a heart that's turned towards him, that heart he blesses and strengthens and encourages and builds up in truth. And when he sees a heart that rejects him, what he does is he leaves that to its own way, to its own destruction.
You think
You know, in Proverbs 19 it says that a man's own ways destroys his own life, yet his heart rages against God. That basically that there is that people, they, because they reject Him, they destroy themselves by going their own way. And then when they destroy themselves, then they get mad at God. God, how could you let this happen to me? How could a good God let something like this happen to me? Are you kidding? Is it a joke? I'm trying to understand. Is this a joke? You expect anything different? If you reject God, if you reject Christ, if you reject truth, what do you expect? What else can you expect? The thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy, right? So if you reject the way, the truth, and the life, that's where you're going. So when it happens, don't get mad at God. But what you can do is you can repent. Try. If you have that window of time still left, you still have breath in your body, repent. Cry out to God where you are. It's like David said when he messed up, God created me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And the third one was that so God sees those with a good heart, He strengthens them. God sees those that have turned against Him, He lets them go their own way, they destroy themselves. And then those that try to stay on the middle ground, those that try to have one foot in the world and one foot with Jesus, He just keeps moving. And as He keeps moving, that still small voice gets softer and softer and softer until one day they don't hear it anymore. And the only thing that they've left with is one foot in the world and the other foot dangling nowhere. And then what they need to do at that point to keep their sanity, because they know they've rejected truth, what they need to do is they now have to create a Jesus, not the real Jesus because He's gone, they have to make a new Jesus in their own image that now they can worship and say, that's God, and everything's still okay.
What they're going to do is they're going to make a new Jesus in their own image ඒගොල්ලෝ හිතන විදිහට ඇත්ත යේසුස් නෙමෙයි. දැන් ඇත්ත යේසුස් එතන නැහැ. ඉතින් ඒගොල්ලෝ යේසුස් කෙනෙක් ඒගොල්ලෝ උන කමේට මවාගෙන මම මෙයාට නමස්කාර කරන්නම්. එතකොට මට හොඳින් ඉන්න
That's the children of Israel in the desert, golden calf. You remember Moses went up on the mountain. They didn't take them very long at all. They quickly gave it gold to Aaron. Aaron went, made a calf. Oop, just popped out of the fire, right? What did they say? Oh, this is the God that took us out of Egypt. You realize how quickly that happens. When people reject truth, when they refuse to walk with Christ, they must make something to worship and say that this is this is my own Jesus now. But it's not him. You know, there is a passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 7 that talks about many coming to him on that day saying, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all of these things in your name? And what does he say to them? He says, look, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I don't know you. You did all this stuff using my name. You didn't do it in my name, you did it using my name, and you and I, we never had a relationship. You created your own Jesus, you served it, it served your purposes, and then now that your life is done, you want to try? No, it's over. You missed it. So what do? To not end up there. Well, one, do not miss your time of visitation. Well, how do you not miss your time of visitation? Well, one way is to come before God completely and openly and honestly and say, Lord God, I don't want to miss you. I don't want to miss the way. Would you please teach me the truth, show me the truth, reveal the truth to me, and whatever it is, I want to embrace it. Give me a will and a heart to embrace it. And Lord, I'm limited in my natural ability, so will you empower me by your Spirit to walk with you and to follow you all the days of my life? See, something that's very important, if you love anything more than Him, that is where you will stop and that is where you will miss Him. Jesus said, if you love your father, your mother, he went through a whole list. He's like, if you love anything, even your own life, if you don't even hate your own life, that's the level that it has to come to. You cannot be His disciple. Amen. Now, it is a strong line. It is a strong line. It is a strong... It's a strong decision you have to make. But if you will trust Him, if you will allow Him to take you through this process, you know what's waiting for you on the other side? On the other side of that is peace. On the other side of that is the abundant life that Jesus wants you to have. You begin to live that now. It's not something you have to wait for when you die. You start living it now. You cross over truly and completely from death to life, from the power of Satan, because now nothing there has a hold on you, from the power of Satan unto God. So you embrace it, you love it, you go with it with all that you are, 100%, and you allow Him to let life be what it is as you follow Him, trusting Him every day of your life. So, yes, my time is already gone, I know. So, my time is up and I have to stop there. But I want to bless you all in Jesus' name and let you know too that you and I, we're on this journey and it's a beautiful thing. So trust Him, love Him, and know that everything is going to be alright. Everything's going to be okay. Okay, my time's up, so I gotta stop.